going to be liberty. There's
Amen.
Liberty in the house.
Amen.
And so we welcome you. We want you to join the company of believers, because we know to them that believe, to them that receive Him, He gave them the right, the power to become the sons of God,
Amen.
Sons and daughters of God. So what else do we know about those that believe?
Well, He gave them the right of sonship to be called, to be named as sons and daughters of God, as children of God. I mean, it's like giving somebody the power of Anthony to use the identity of Christ as their own identity. And that's what,
and
that's
again,
the right He gave us.
And He said again that this sign shall follow them
that believe
that in His name they will cast out demons.
They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. If they drink any deadly poison, it will not harm them. Those are the things, the guarantees.
Now, that
perks
of being a believer is this. When I said, is for those that believe, it has been, as the scripture has said, out of the is our belly shall flow
rivers of living waters.
So, as the scripture has said, and we know that the scripture cannot be broken.
Amen.
So, irrespective of your circumstance, they have to yield to the unbroken scripture, the unbroken word of God, that to them that believe, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And with that verse and with that introduction, we are kicking off today, knowing from the last time that we spoke on this platform where we talk about this is your life, talking
this
about this conversation of this woman at the well. So we know that if we believe, if we remember just that the scripture has said, out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. So welcome to a new word of gushing forth in your spirit.
Amen.
Irrespective of what is happening in your environment, you have to yield to the gushing forth that has been planted in you.
Amen.
So sit back as we continue in this John chapter 4, verse 14.
Yeah, I think we've actually gone on to verse 15. Now, viewers and listeners all over the world, we welcome you again to another exciting episode of the Bucket Ministry series on this Exposé 247. In our last transmission, where we talk about this is the life, we actually specifically ended in verse 15. In fact, we actually began to encroach into the 16th verse of the fourth chapter of the book of John. Now, follow us quickly as we carry on today. If you look at the scriptures, again, we're reading the fourth chapter of the book of John, and we are currently on the 15th verse, encroaching to the 16th verse. If you want to read the 15th verse again, please. John chapter 4, which is the discourse between the Samaritan woman and Jesus.
Yes, the woman said to him,
okay,
sir,
okay,
give me this water so that I will not get thirsty.
Okay.
No, I have to continually come all the way here to draw.
We've discussed that in the past transmission. Please check out for that. Go on to the next verse, please.
At this, Jesus said, go call your husband and come back.
Okay, good. Now, you see, we began to talk about this, but today, by the grace of God, we dwell deeper on this. At this, thank you for that. I like that version. It means, based on what the woman said about the fact that she wanted the living waters and all that, Jesus responded in the 16th verse, and this is what Jesus said. Jesus said to the woman, go.
Call.
And call. Go and make a call. Call your husband and come back. Which means Jesus was simply telling the woman that now if you said to me that you are ready to lay hold on eternal life, let's get on to business about this eternal life thing. Go and call your husband. Go and make that call. Go and do that thing which you usually do. I mean, do that which is important to you, or do that which is uppermost in your mind, and which is the most significant for your life. Now, you see, the reason why Jesus brought the issue of the woman going to make a call or going to bring what her husband is not because Jesus didn't know she had no husband. Can you read the next verse, which is the 17th verse? What
the
does it say?
The woman answered.
The woman answered, okay?
I do not have a husband.
Can you see that? So Jesus knew. I mean, He's the King of glory. All wisdom, all knowledge is in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
John, the book of John tells us that Jesus knew what was in the heart of men, and He needed no one to tell Him what was in the heart of what men. That's the book of John. He knew what was in the heart of men. He had all understanding. He knew the woman had no husband. So there must have been a reason where Jesus asked the woman to make a call for an husband that He knew didn't exist. The reason Jesus would say that is because He was trying to pass across an understanding to that woman. He was trying to wake her up, if that's the word you want to use. He was trying to trigger the woman. He was trying to get a kind of reaction from the woman because He knew she had no husband. But He still told her, go and make that call. I mean, that the issue of husband is that which is the uppermost in your mind. You want to receive eternal life. If you're ready to receive this life, don't forget that this life that you're going to receive is not just going to be an addition, an appendage to your previous life. It has actually come to take the foundation, to take the root in your life. So Jesus mentioned to the woman that which was uppermost, that which was the most important part of life for her, that which was a defining point for her in her life, which is the issue of what? Husband. Jesus said, let's talk about eternal life, but let first talk about the things you have been making call of. And then, you see, this is amazing to us, because don't forget that when it comes to salvation in Christ Jesus, it is about the call. I mean, if in Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, everyone that shall what? Call, can you see, on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Even in salvation, even in deliverance from the power of darkness into life, even in deliverance from the power of sin, even in deliverance to enter into the fullness of the benefit of the Son of God. The Bible says those that call are what? On the name of the Lord. So the person you call on, the thing that you call onto in the time of trouble, the thing that you look up to, that you make the call of, I mean, that is really what, really the defining thing about your life. And the reason why Jesus asked her to call her husband, you know, as we begin to look further into these things, we have to make some things very clear and, I mean, very, very open about the scriptures. If you notice Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, which is a very common verse in the scripture, where a lot of people say, people say, seek when Jesus said, seek ye first. I mean, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All other things shall be what? Added unto you. You know, some people, when they read this kind of verse, they have a kind of notion, a kind of ideology about what they think Matthew 6:33 means. In fact, some people think it probably means that if I take God serious in my life, or if I take my prayer life serious, or if I gather at 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. in the morning for a church what prayer meeting when I should be at my place of work, if I do that and I give God my time, I give God my focus, it would guarantee for me that then God will help to put food on my table. Okay, that's the way people think. They say, oh yeah, the reason why 10 a.m. on Monday morning we have a church prayer meeting for 2 hours and I'm not in my place of job, because if I seek first what? The kingdom of God, I know that God will add what? All those other things like food, like shelter, like clothing, like things I need for life. God will add that unto me. And that's the, it seems to be the kind of general perspective we have about the scripture. Some might not even put it in those ways. Some might even say, well, if you do evangelism and you preach the gospel to other people, if you spend your time to do the things of what? Of God. God will have a way of rewarding you with things
for
of life.
Lost times.
For those lost time. And if you ask them, why do you say that? They will quote Matthew 6:33, that seek ye first the kingdom of God and other things shall be what? Shall be added. Well, that doesn't make any logical sense. Now, why did I say that? Because if you look at the context of that scripture, why would I, if I know that, I mean, why did God give you brain? Why did he give you a mind? Why did he give you skills? I mean, the gifting and the talent of God in your life is for you to walk the creation of God. Okay, you see, we've done this in the past transmission where we did say it was God that gave the mandate to Adam to till what? To till the ground. God gave him the mandate to replenish what? The earth. God gave us the mind, the will, the intellect. He gave not just Christians. He gave to humanity to walk the earth. Can you see that? To turn natural resources to finish product for technology. This is the wisdom of God in man. So God is not simply saying to you that, try to serve me and I will put this. What he said in Matthew 6, if you look at the surrounding verses in context, is he says the pagans what? Seek
after this.
After these things. These things are the defining point for pagans. The word seeking there denotes pursuit, denotes focus, denotes identity, denotes life, denotes what summarizes what their life is all about. Mm-hmm. So for pagans, what they would eat, what they would drink, their ratings, you know, how they appear before the world, how people see them, I mean, what they put on their body, their skin, you see, how they look like, how they feel. All of these things are the things that define their lives. That is what drives them. That is what they are all about. But for you, what the gospel does to you is Christ says, I will drive you. And this is why he says, seek ye the kingdom of God. He didn't say, and its righteousness. He said, and is righteousness. It means get your righteousness, your justification, who you are, what is your life. He said, Christ says, I am that to you now. So when I am that to you, it means other things of life that have defined the pagans, those things will not be agenda for your life. They become addendum. Does that make sense? It means what you will eat can no more define you. That means I'll make it an addition. He's just saying, even when you go out there to work, even when you go out there to walk the earth, when you go out there to do what you do, the gospel works in your life in such a way that all of those things, they don't become your agenda for life. They become an addition to your life. So the addition is that those things don't define you. That's what I mean by addition. It means there will be addition. All those things, it won't become your agenda. They won't become your life. That is what unbelievers can never achieve. In fact, that is, if you notice, unbelievers, for those who are not born again, they have the same, they wear the same kind of clothes you wear. They eat probably the same type of food that you eat, or probably they are in your place of work, place of employment. So there's nothing different. What is different from them and you is that for them, that is their life. But for you, Christ is your life. And those things are just additions to you. They are not the agenda of your life. This is what the gospel does. So Jesus was speaking to this woman in the 15th verse of John chapter 4, that I want to become your agenda. But you already have another agenda. Go and call your husband. This is your defining point. This is what makes your life your life. And that's the reason why you've been going from one husband to what? To the next. This is your life. But that won't become your life. So don't forget, the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation does not come to be an addition for us. It's come to be the agenda of our life. And if it becomes the agenda, every other thing around you must become what? The addition. That's what the gospel does. Gospel makes everything in your life an addition, because Christ becomes the agenda. So this is why he told that woman, you want to receive your eternal life. I can't really find you, woman. You know, you said you want to give me. No, the woman said, Jesus, give me what? This life. And Jesus is saying, where are you? I can't really find you, because your life is in those men. Your life, I can't even find you. So go and call them. I need a life to quicken. I need a life to make entrance into. I need a life to take hold of. At the moment, there is no such life. That life at the moment is hidden in those men. And that's why I like the scripture that says to believers, say our life is hid with Christ in God. I mean, is our life is hid with Christ in God. It means if you are looking for me, I don't have a life of my own. Christ is my life. Can you see? At the point of salvation, at the point of new birth, what I made a decision to receive Christ as my life, to receive Christ as my identity, to receive Christ as the source, the energy, the drive, the focus, the meaning of my life. So I'm not available to any other thing. But in this John chapter 4, in the 15th verse, the reason why Jesus sent the woman on an errand to look for what her husband is, he said, woman, at the moment, that is where your life is. And we need to recover what? Your life back. So go and call your husband. Go. It's time to take back your life, because I am coming to be the essence of your life. This is what the gospel is all about. This is the focus of the gospel. That's what we see. That's why he said to the woman, we need your life. We need that life. At the moment, that life is eating in other things, but I want to become your life. That's what we saw in that 15th verse of John chapter 4.
It seems we cannot get to the end of this massive system. Verse 33, we've been having it as recurring reference in most of our messages.
Yes.
So I would like to direct our audience, our teaming audience. We know we believe the Lord is giving areas. We have laborers and people are hearing from all continents. So some of the topics, we've covered some of these in knockout season.
Yeah.
So you really need to get to, I can't remember the topic
I think
now.
We call it agenda or addendum. That's the title you need to look for in our previous transmission. Agenda or addendum. It will actually clarify to you the real meaning of Matthew 6:33. You need to look for that episode. If you listen to that, it will break you free to enjoy the liberty of the sons of God. You know, I know you might have some other things to say, but something just came to heart. You see, you would notice that the things we are looking at in the fourth chapter of the book of John, as basic and fundamental as some of those things are, they are the essence of salvation. A lot of people who said they are saved, who said they are believed in the Lord Jesus, in his death, in his burial and resurrection, in most cases, we don't experience the benefit of that redemption. And it's because we don't understand what we have received. A good example would be, for example, if you buy property, I mean, if you buy property or some type of real estate or something, you know, there are times that you sign the document that could show that you've actually purchased that property legally at the point of signing the title deed. At that point, it is yours. At that point, legally speaking, it is your own. If anybody wants to take it from you, then you can fight it at that point in which you signed the document. Now, the fact is, it is not until you enter into the property that it becomes what? Yes. Yours. Not until you say, let me have the keys and let me open the doors and now I've entered the property or it is now it's mine. In fact, the same thing can happen to a tenancy. If you want to rent a house and you want to live inside, because of technology in the 21st century, now you can sign digitally, isn't it? You can actually, they can send you documents online or by email, and you can sign the tenancy that simply says, from this particular date, you are the legal person to be living inside what? That property. At that point you sign, it is yours. That's actually what happened at new birth. That's why the Hebrews chapter 11 says, faith is what? The tie to what? Deed. But you see, it is not until you enter that it becomes yours. It's when you sign. But the experience of you being the owner of that property, or the experience of you being a tenant in that property, only happens when you what? Walk into, then you experience that which is was yours in the first place. This is how new birth works in the new life of a Christian. It's a lot of Christians, even though they simply say, I'm saved, I'm born again, my sins are forgiven, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Bless God for your life. Objectively, it is true. But what this exposition on Bucket Ministry Series is actually achieving is to take that which is just a legal fact for you as a believer, to bring it to the point where you begin to practically walk in that liberty. Can you see that? I mean, practically experience that which is yours. And that's what we're doing on this exposition. To simply say, if you are born again and you have received eternal life, and the understanding of eternal life has not brought you to a point where Christ is saying, being saved is not just an additional trial, an improvement program. That being saved, that Christ is saying, I have come to be what? Your life. I define you. I call you. And the call that upon your life is my call. My identity is your identity. Because I took your identity, now you take my identity. Start living life like I'm living through you. This is the whole point. So we are driving ourselves by the word of God, beyond the objective, into the subjective, into the reality of the experience of that which we have received. That's what we see by the word of God.
Well, it's good that you're hammering on the new creation realities and for people to really understand what it means to, because some don't even know. They think that they just have to belong. You know, you have to believe before you belong. And then when you belong, then you can start behaving. And the behaving is not just to become. The behaving is just as who you are and what he has made you to be. And we just have to understand this distinction and differences.
Thank you for that. I mean, so then we see that it's one thing to believe, it's another thing to walk in the reality of that which I believe. It's one thing you have the title deed, it would affect me to walk into the property, to an experience.
And you cannot be by just belonging, you just have to believe to become. Because it's just like about this citizenship and residency, in which like you can spend several years in a country, doesn't make you, you don't have the right to be. And you can have the citizenship given to you from another country, and you start enjoying the right, even when you have not stepped into the country. You know, people get their citizenship even away from a different country, and they have the recognition and the right and privileges, which is even much more. It is a different case from somebody who is legal resident for years and it cannot. So it's not about just belonging. That is about the belief to become.
Believing to become. Thank you for that. Thank you for those words. That's very important. So we see what Jesus is inviting this woman into, and the same invitation goes to all of humanity. That Jesus is simply saying, you have to stop making the calls you used to make. I mean, I mean, there's a new call to make, the call of Romans 13:13. Everyone shall call on the name of the Lord. Now, there's an example that.
And again, I like the part that you said when you were making a reference to the dark woman. I was saying Jesus was looking for her. Where are you?
I mean, where are you?
Because at least it's like you're so clouded and surrounded by this man, I can't even find you.
Yeah.
That is why he came to seek the lost.
That's
so people are lost among their cultural ties. They are lost. They are not living their lives anymore. They are living according to the social expectation, the norms.
Mm.
They have adopted somebody else's life, somebody else's culture. And Jesus is saying, where are you, woman?
You are so
clouded by this philosophy. Philosophies, rather.
Yeah, yeah.
Philosophies and all these learnings.
Huh.
I can't even find you, your original self.
Yeah,
I can't find you in this.
Mm.
And that is, Jesus is addressing that today to separate us and let your reserve stand up, let your reserve come forward.
If it
might even be a relationship, even ministry, some things that even legitimate and is very good and all these works, charity works, and that is it. And, but you're lost, we can't find you. You're surrounded
because
by
the
husband.
Eat in those things. In fact, that's
your
what she said.
Your accomplishment, your award could
go and
be
call,
surrounded.
Go and call your husband.
So today, when they come, I will go and bring all your certificates and awards.
Let's retrieve your life back.
Yes, we go and bring all your responsibilities, things you are proud of, and things that people know that you have done this.
Told
us, where are you from all these things?
Can't
Let's
find
get
you.
To read you.
Mm.
Let's get to your own thoughts.
Mm.
So people, they thought they have an enlightened mind now, but they are just speaking and voicing out somebody else's mind and philosophies, and that is what they are learning and claiming that it is that. And so Jesus is dissecting and saying, we want to get to read you.
Mm.
We want to do away with all the paraphernalia things that have surrounded you, all the other garments that you own.
Now, well, if you listen to what we are saying, if it sounds to you that we are talking about work righteousness, that's far from the truth. We're not even saying that you have to do this and do that so that you can walk in the reality of what Christ did for you on the cross. That's not what we're saying. We all know salvation cannot be earned. If it's something that you have to earn, then it's not a salvation that is from Christ Jesus. Because Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says, it says the wages of sin is death, but a gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Of course it's a gift. Nobody can say, how much can I retrieve my life from all those things? That determines how much I qualify to partake of the gift of salvation. That's not true. Nobody is saying that. We're not saying that. But what we are simply saying is, even though salvation cannot be earned, salvation must be received.
Yes.
Can you see? It cannot be earned, but it has to be what? Received. And if you receive salvation at new birth, and if you're hearing this and you're already saved, don't forget that the scripture says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so you walk in Him. So if you received Him at new birth by believing the Lord Jesus, you must walk in Him by the same receiving principle. You must continually draw on. You must continually hold. No wonder Paul told Timothy in the fourth chapter of 1 Timothy said, lay hold on eternal life. The same way you got to the point where you say, well, Christ, I have no life. At the point this woman said, I have no husband. I've agreed, I've come to a point where I simply say, what I thought was life is not life. What I thought was sustaining is not sustaining. In fact, the woman came to an agreement with Jesus, where Jesus said, if you drink of this water, you will what? Thirst again. So the woman came to the conclusion, well, at the moment, I didn't even have an husband. And Jesus said, Jesus actually, spoke to her later. We're going to get there. But the fact remains that salvation, if that was the outlook, if that was the perspective that you had that brought you to salvation, the scripture says for you to continually walk in victory, you must carry on with the same perspective. As you have received it, so you have to walk in it. So salvation cannot be earned, but there you must understand that you must continually receive. As you receive at new birth, you must also keep on receiving to walk in the freedom of what you have received.
So I would like to redouble our memory back on the opening verse when I was quoting John chapter 1 verse 12, to them that received him.
Yeah.
So we know that Jesus has been given to the world in John 3:16 for the world. So he has was already given.
Mm.
But to them that receive, not to them that was given to.
Mm.
To them that receive.
Not even to them that had.
Yes.
Or to them that deserved. No, it's them that received
him. So it's not about them that is given. Amen. The whole world is given to him that is received. And again, I want to get back to this verse 17 of that, the hate part that we've read.
Mm.
That the woman said, I do not have a husband. Because today we are calling out faults for people to come out and somebody say, oh, really? I don't have those things that you're talking about. I don't really have those certificates, those things, those accounts and achievements are not. because this woman actually rightly said that she did not have an husband. So today the Lord is calling her to come. Though physically she did not have an husband, but the Lord said, come out of the shadow of those things. So people might need to come out of the shadow, so they might not be able to see the thing tangibly around them, surrounding their lives, suffocating their lives. But the shadow, they have the heavy presence, the shadow, the cloud of those people around them, the cloud of those thoughts. They have those hanging philosophies on them, hanging traditions on them. That is that they cutthroat to them. The Lord is calling, come out of the shadow. Even if you see, like, I can't find a physical thing, tangible thing, there's a calling, call the shadow of those things, the cloud.
Thank you for that, and thank you, and thank you for bringing our note. I mean, our you know, attention to that. But what you would notice is, as we begin to carry on, you would notice that this woman did actually have a man at that point in time, because Jesus said, "The one that you have now is not even what your husband." She still had a man even at that time, but the good thing was she came to a point where she agreed with Jesus. All this cannot suffice. See, I even don't have any. I mean, I don't have any husband. I mean, just like you said, she came. She's had five husbands. I mean, as we carry on, she came to a point where she agreed with Jesus in what Christ said in two verses before. That says, if you drink from this water, you will thirst again. I don't care as long as anything other than my grace, as long as anything other than the life I give is what defines you, you would always get to a point where the thing cannot continually sustain your deepest desire, which is why the younger brother in Luke 15 parable came to a point in the Bible says he came to what himself, and the Bible says he began to be in want. I mean, don't forget that he didn't start with want. He started with the father. Everything was okay when the father gave him everything. This woman didn't actually start with no husband. She had the first husband. Can you see? She even, I mean, when the first one didn't work out, she had a second one. She had a third one. She had a fourth one. Even she had what? The fifth one. And at the point that Christ was talking to her, she had a situation. She had a man anyway. Maybe they've not actually legitimized the whole thing. But the fact is, she came to a conclusion that what I thought was life, what I thought would sustain, what I thought will define me, what I thought would make life worth living. Actually, I've come to a point where I say, I don't even have any. I don't think this is actually scratching the point. So she just came to an agreement with Christ Jesus where he says, if you drink from this water, you are what? Thirst again. Now you're saying you have no husband. Can you see? You've been drinking from that water.
Oh, but I'll respond to that because it's on balance of reflection for the woman.
Yeah.
And then in a further reassessment, he was able to agree with Jesus that he actually had one man.
Yeah.
But again, we can see he had the shadow, the angry shadow of the other four.
Exactly.
Again, with him.
The
other five. Yes, he had the angry shadow of those.
Mm.
So he later accepted that he had, there's one that actually was not counted.
Yeah.
But yet, there's a shadow.
Exactly.
Of the angry shadow. So today, people are coming off. They might still have something, just one.
Mm.
Okay, if they have to sit down, deep-seated thoughts and think about it, they might just have the one. But it does not exclude them from the angry shadow of the past involvement, past cultural beliefs.
Mm.
So that is that. Jesus was going to deal with that. The one that you really can, the shadows, the angry shadows, the one, the five men that have disappeared out of our life, physically disappeared out of our life, who are physically present in our life, and the one that is actually physically present. So that's Jesus wants ourselves detached from our past and from our present.
Again, I want to just, and thank you for that, I want to emphasize to our believers, again, I don't want you to hear what we're not saying. We're not saying the quality of your detachment determines the quality of the salvation that you're going to receive. That you have to, how far you can detach yourself is how far Christ can lay hold or Christ. No, that's not what we are saying. Not at all. That will be works. That's not what we're saying. What we are simply saying is that no one is ready to receive eternal life as long as they have a life sustenance that is based on any other thing other than what? The grace of God. Reception is what we are talking about. Reception, laying hold, is what we are talking about today on this transmission. There's something I want us to look at before we carry on. I want to talk about a lady called Letitia Wright. I mean, the reason why I'm going to talk about this is a good example of what we are sharing, a practical 21st century example Letitia Wright, I mean, some days ago, she won the British BAFTA Awards for being the rising star. You know, and right before thousands of people, you know, the royal family were there and all that, she actually made a statement, a bold statement. She came out, she's just in her 20s, and I think she came into the UK when she was a few years old, and she grew up in North London. But when she won this award as the rising star in BAFTA, in fact, she appeared in some of these movies, the Black Panther. She acted there, and she also acted in The Avengers, some of these, you know, movies that have grossed a lot in the box office, the Marvel movies and all that. So she's British anyway. But she made a statement when she was given the BAFTA award some days ago. She said this: "I identify," as she was collecting the award, "as a Christian." That's what she said. And she said, "Thank you, Jesus." And then that really got me, you know, investigating what somebody would come to the podium in such a secular garden like this and said. She didn't say, "I believe in Jesus," which would have been a very great thing to say. She didn't even say, "I think I'm born again," which is a very great thing to say. But what actually caught my attention was the identity statement that was made. She said, "I identify as a Christian, and thank you, Jesus." And she said this is the reason. She said quite so many years ago, she had a lot of, you know, she went to depression, psychosis, and a lot of other things that happened to her and all this. And that eventually she had to actually ask herself a question. What is life all about? What's the whole point of life? And in asking that question, the answer that came to her is the gift of God that was offered in Christ Jesus. The one doesn't ask you to perform to earn your own salvation. The one that doesn't ask you to perform to justify your existence. The one that doesn't ask you to perform to define yourself, not on a self-salvation project. He said that's what the world was asking for. Prove yourself, qualify yourself. Who are you? But that question was answered in Christ Jesus, and she only received that gift of God. And she said that broke her free from depression. That when she came back into acting in 2015, she was winning. I mean, she was showing up in little films and all that. But yet, the statement she was making is, "I identify. None of those things label me." That's what she said. "I identify as a child of God." She didn't just believe that personally or in her own private life. She came to make that bold declaration at the BAFTA Awards: "I identify as a child of God." Now, look at what a statement in Wikipedia about what she said on the UK morning talk show. She said on the UK talk show this morning, that's it, it's called This Morning in the UK. She said, "I needed to take a break from acting because I really idolized it." Can you see that? "And then I came off it and I went on a journey to discover my relationship with God, and I became a Christian." Now, does that sound a bit in line with some of the things we're talking about the fact, even is what idol, can you see? And then we did say that's what a human art does. I mean, acting is a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Being an actor is a wonderful thing, but she said, by her own personal confession, that what happened is her own heart converted. Because the acting had to be good for her to feel great about herself. She had to be in the good books of the directors for her to know that her life, what, counts. She said she idolized it. She derived meaning, satisfaction, thirst. You see, she drank the water to quench her thirst using what? Acting. And she said she went to depression. But she said, now that she has found Christ, she's a Christian. Now her life is defined by who and what Christ calls her. And then, you see, now she's walking in that liberty. And we pray that the Lord will continue to strengthen her because of that bold statement. So this is what we see. That's what Christ, you see, that's why if you notice that some people might say, well, the Bible is an archaic book. Some people say that. They say it's an old book. They say, who reads nomadic books in the 21st century? Let me tell you, sin is the same old age problem. It doesn't matter whether you live in the 1st century or you are living in the what? 21st century. False gods, idols, identities, other than the grace of God. It's the same human problem. Nothing has changed about the problem of humanity. The same thing that Christ was conversing with this woman about in John chapter 4 is the same thing we are still talking about in 2000, in this particular 21st century. This is a classic example to show you that. This is what we said. That's all we are talking about. is reality. If you don't lay hold on these things and walk in their reality, what Jesus said will surely always come to pass over humanity. To say, if you drink from that water, you will always thirst again. That lack, that deprivation, that emptiness, that devastation would always be there, not only in time, but also in eternity. That's what we see by the word of God.
Yes, and the good news is that Jesus is calling to everyone, because for her, that was acting for us.
Yes, we say it's all encompassing, isn't it?
Like ministry, even family, child,
family,
your
that's
children,
what we see.
And what they are, mm. what they are going to be, can be, anything can be. But the good news is Jesus said, come unto me, all you that are laden with this, all this pressure.
Burden.
Pressure and burden from work, from of this, our sense of responsibility, burden from this ministry, burden of things, our rightful things that want to turn to become an idol and crushing us and pressed, being pressed by this. Say, come unto me, and he that heaven leading, and I will give you rest. And so
that's
that is the rest that she was Jesus was promising this woman in John chapter 4.
Mm.
The rest from this battering from all this men.
This burden.
This pain, this agony, this nagging influence of all these men on your life.
Mm.
Say, come off and let me give you that rest so that will stop you seeking the sixth and the seventh.
Mm.
Because the way you're going, you could go to the 10th and 12th and you will not find what you're looking for.
Mm.
So it's a burden of this pursuit of defining yourself by all this. Because by the time you attain this, they change the label. They change the standard for you.
Mm.
By the time you get this award, you get this accomplishment, there is a change. It will not, the measure, the net worth is not going to be that same figure again.
Amen.
You have to do more and more to impress, to be accepted, and society changes values and this. Say, come off of this.
Mm.
Come off and let me solve this pursuit for you once and for all.
Mm.
And the same call is going forth to you today, that you are going to come into the rest of the Lord as he help you from all this pressure.
Well, thank you for that. Is it not amazing that there are people who are believers in Christ Jesus who are born of the Spirit but have not been walking in the reality of that rest? And that's why we're here on this Broadcast Ministry series, to explain the gospel. To explain the gospel, to make you understand the reality of what you receive, because the rest is yours in Christ Jesus. The justification is yours in Christ Jesus. The acceptance is yours in Christ Jesus. The righteousness is yours in Christ Jesus. The perfection is yours now in Christ Jesus. The completion is yours now in Christ Jesus. The satisfaction is yours now in Christ Jesus. The peace of God that transcends all understanding is yours now in Christ Jesus. So if you are born again, if you are a Christian, your understanding of salvation in your life was supposed to knock down every idol, everything that satisfies your thirst, everything that quenches your thirst other than the grace of God. That's what salvation in Christ, receiving eternal life, those are the things, those are the kind of questions you should have answered in your life. And if those questions are not answered, it means you have not really fully understood what you received. And as you begin to listen to this episode and begin to understand these things we are sharing, we trust the Lord that these things are going to take root in your life, and you begin to lay hold on the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free. That's what we see in the Word of God.
So today, from here, with the authority that Christ gives, we declare liberty for everyone hanging to all this relationship, all this abusive and dependent relationship, like this woman was hanging to all these men. So people hanging to a person, a pastor, or anything that is defining their life and putting them under pressure and making them going helter-skelter, moving from one pillar.
Making the grace of God no effect.
First in their lives, not walking in the true liberty in which Christ sets free. Today we say there's liberty for you, and we declare freedom.
Amen. Now, you see, there is one thing we need to say about the word righteousness. You know, every time we use the word righteousness, in a common sense, most of us end up thinking about the fact that it's about not living in sin. It's about not living a life with ungodly actions. That is true. That is completely acceptable. But the word of righteousness is actually deeper than that. It's more than just actions of do's and, don'ts of actions. It's deeper than that. Because if you notice Romans 6:23 that I quoted earlier on today, it says the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Take note of the contrast between wages and gift in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. It simply means every form of self-realization, anything that you come into that has to be earned. Can you see? It said the wages. Anything that has to be earned, any identity that you have to earn, that you have to labor for, it said the wages. as long as wages denotes that you get the pay for what? The work you have done. If it is based on the work that you have done, that you are going to gain your identity, that is sin. That's why Romans chapter 14 says anything that is not of faith, it is sin. As long as you want to attain any status, and that status is based on your contribution, it doesn't matter what the status, like you're talking about, whether it's from relationship, whether it's from ministry, as long as the status you want to gain is dependent on your contribution, it is sin. Wages of sin. So even in that Romans 6:23, there's nothing about lying or stealing or whatever. It encompasses that, but it's bigger than that. You can't just limit your mindset to that. As long as any status has to be attained by your labor and your effort, you have made the grace of God of no effect in your life. I didn't just say that. Apostle Paul himself said that in the epistles. He said if righteousness could be achieved by the works of the law, Apostle Paul said that means Christ has died in vain. He said, what's the point of the death of Christ? What's the point of the gift of eternal life if I can attain my own self-justification by what I do? If I can actually feel that I've arrived by my job, if I can feel that my life counts because of the kind of connections I have, if I can feel that I've arrived because of my bank account, if I can feel that I've arrived because of my race, if I can feel that I've arrived because of my ethnic group, if I can feel that I've arrived because of my political inclination, if whatever makes me attain any level of righteousness. So righteousness, really, in this case, is not about the actions of morality. It's about anything that justifies me. As long as it's based on my contribution, that is sin. And that is what will never satisfy. That Christ was saying to that woman in John chapter 4. He said, don't even think about it. If you do it, you're going to come for the second husband. You're going to come for the third one. You're going to come for the fourth one. In fact, may I say, I know a lot of people tend to think this woman in the fourth chapter of the book of John is wayward in the fact that...
I feel like people always label her promiscuous.
Promiscuous. But I think we might need to be careful to cut out some slack. I mean, the reason is this. Don't forget that in the context in which this took place, in the cultural location, setting. The setting where this took place, let's not forget the fact that holy men had the right to divorce the women. Because if you, notice Jesus himself said in the gospel, he said that when Moses, they had Jesus, Moses asked him that we should give a bill of what? Divorcement to the wife for whatever reason. That's what they told Jesus. It means the men are the ones that have the right to divorce the woman. Even up to today, there are some parts of the world up to today where only the men are allowed to divorce their wives. Even up to the 21st century, some parts of the world. So it's not something strange to conceive. So we don't know the reason why those men are choosing to leave the woman alone. But at least the woman came to an understanding that she doesn't have a life without them. And why? Because the culture, the culture is so strange. The same culture, if they see a single woman in that culture who is not married, they would think something of marriageable age, if something is wrong with her, they would disqualify her or ostracize or condemn the woman. That's the same culture. But even if the woman also decides not to stay single so that she doesn't get mislabeled as a bad woman, and she tries to get married, and she gets married to the second, third, fourth, the same culture would then say to that woman, this woman, something is wrong with you. Why do you have so many husbands? The same culture. So either she was single, she was going to be ostracized, or whether she even made an attempt to have what? Husbands, and the husband leave her. They would say there's a problem with that, because why are the men leaving you? Whichever way she goes, she has come to a point where she knew that being labeled or being, given an identity by the culture was non-satisfying. They couldn't do it. She has to earn it. That's why I think she's been going for the second, third, fourth. She wants to earn a place. She wants to earn a place. And Jesus said, woman, it's not going to satisfy. It's never going to satisfy. And you see, again, what we are saying today might sound very similar to people that promote individualism in their culture, that say, yes, that is true. We've come to a point where we must not allow society to label us. We must define ourselves. We must affirm ourselves. We must put our foot on ground.
Chart our own course.
And chart our own course. Well, if you
do what we believe in, seeking our own personal truth.
Yeah.
That's the trend now.
Exactly. Our personal truth.
And everybody has their own truth.
Exactly.
I'm neglecting the one that calls himself the truth. Yes, they said, that is my truth. I'm living my life. I'm living my truth. And they feel like the way I'm coming out is just like, because I don't want to live a lie. I'm living the truth. I'm living true to myself.
Exactly.
That is.
That's
relative truth.
That's even worse. The reason why that is worse is that's
falsehood. I don't even think.
You're right, but you see, the reason why that's worse is that's even more fluid, because the one that actually depended on on the culture is even probably slightly better, because at least there's a stability.
For a while.
For a while that can stabilize you. Yes. You can say, as soon as I can be a good husband, if I be a good wife,
or
I'm a good mother, or a good father, or I'm a good employer,
or
I'm a good employee, or I'm a good person in the society, or at least society can give you an identity and say you are a good man. Now you are a great man. That there's a level of stability there, but the one that you are trying to attain by yourself is even more fluid. I think that's the reason why today in the 21st century there are more cases of depression and psychosis than have ever been in the world. The reason is we have situations where people have taken on the burden to name themselves. It's a very hard thing to do. And the reason why it's hard is because even your desires keep changing. Today, if some of you, as you're listening to this, you would notice in some few years ago, they ask you, what did you want to be? What do you want to do? Probably was one thing. Today you are even focusing on something different. Your desires are inconsistent. Can you see? So, and it's that same desire that you want to use to name yourself when it's even inconsistent. So even today they said, today I feel like I'm a male, tomorrow I feel like I'm a female. These things are changing. And how then do you want to hang your identity on something? Even your own desires are fleeting. They are changing. That's why it's a big burden. That's why there's so much. I think one of the reasons why there's a lot of mental torture and tension today is because the new generation wants to name themselves. They're taking on a task that is very, very, very pressurizing. That's okay, what we see.
What complicates the matter is not even about their own desires fluctuating. It's even about the standard of the society, expectation of the society fluctuating.
Exactly.
What the standard. So they're going to match somebody that are imbalanced in their own system and desires with the already ever-changing standard.
Which is quite very confusing, because they did say the reason why they are different from their fathers is that they are in the generation of their fathers, they have to conform to what? Society.
Family values.
Family values. But I think it's the same problem again, isn't it? Even though they claim that it's individualism, but they're still trying to play to the gallery.
Yes, to someone. Yes, somebody's thoughts.
Somebody's thoughts. People's opinion. So really, really, this issue of freedom, or I'm free to become what I want to be without anybody imposing their values on me, is actually a mirage.
Yes, and that is why Jesus said to those, he talked to those people there, he said, you are promising us freedom, you are asking us for freedom, we have never been bound to anybody. He said, we are sons of Abraham, we have Abraham as father, so we have never been in bondage. So people did not realize that time.
Oh my God.
they have a bondage over there.
Oh my Jesus.
So people are looking at themselves and say, I'm in this Western world. I'm not in the archaic countries and things.
Oh,
so I've
God.
Moved away. So I'm not in bondage. They feel I'm free. Just like, yes, I'm not in bondage. We have Abraham as father. We have the constitution. We have the progressive laws.
Oh
code.
My Jesus.
We have this and this. We have such that and that. So we are better off. We are not in bondage. We have the freedom of expression here. And so we can do anything and appear anyhow per minute. We can change per minute, whatever we want to do. I feel like there is no bondage. So you have been born. Is it the Son of Man sets you free?
You're free indeed.
Indeed. And that is where freedom is.
Oh my God. Now, thank you for that. You know, I'm happy that you did mention that, because I trust the Spirit of Grace today is passing a very significant message to the whole world, not just to believers, but also to unbelievers who might come across this video as we are transmitting by the grace of God. You know, one thing is this. It is just self-deception for people to think about the issue of sin and saying, well, the doctrine of sin, you know, people talk about sin and some people say salvation from what? In fact, there are times when you preach the gospel to some people and they say, you need to believe so that you can be saved. And the question we're going to ask is, saved from what? And you say sin, and they said, which sin are you talking about? I mean, I'm not a bad person. I try to live well with people. I try to do to people the way I want them to do to me. In fact, some of them I even say they're living by the golden rule of Jesus Christ. And some of them are fighting for the cause of the homeless. They are fighting for social justice, and they seem not to be able to conceive the notion of sin. Mm-hmm. And some preachers of the gospel get confused at that point. Some might say, well, let me try and ask them, have you ever lied before? I mean, those might sound great, those might sound good, But there's a deeper way to deal with the problem of humanity today. The reason is sin is not really about the actions or what people do
or don't.
In the gospel, as long as it is wages, as long as it is a life that comes from what you do, as long as it's a life where you derive your meaning from the works of your hands, if God is the one that created you, if God is the one that made you, if God is the author of your life, if God is the source of your life, He demands that you worship Him. He demands that you love Him for who He is. He demands that you respond to Him for what He did for you in Christ Jesus. If you are not responding to that, and you're responding to other things, you are responding to husbands, like this woman in John 4:14. You are getting your life and your kick from anything else. You are trying to get wages. Can you see? You are trying to get paid for your input into life. You are trying to get labeled and get named by what you do. This is a disdain. This is a rejection of God. You are rejecting the gift of God and saying, I want to reject the pathway of the gift. I want to go down the way of wages. That is sin. That's why I say the wages of what? Sin is death. So people need to know that they are living in sin. Just by simply coming to the realization that up till now, you've been living your life. You've been trying to get your self-worth, your value, your meaning in life from what you do. You are trying to get paid by wages. And you are rejecting the gift of God, which comes through what? Christ Jesus. This is what sin is all about. That's what the world needs to know, that as long as you're not in that pathway, you are living a life of sin. It doesn't matter about your actions or inactions. That's not the point. Those are just properties of something deeper. And that's what the foundation of sin is. And that's what we see by the word of God.
Okay, I can't but help again to refer our audience to some of the titles in which we are talking about redefining sins and what sin is.
That's it.
And then to know that the sin is just like coming short of that standard, the glory of God, measuring yourself against the glory of God. Mm. If you feel you have what it is enough against the glory of God, then what a good luck. But I don't think you can. It's not your own standard. It's not your country's regulation or constitution we're talking about. We're talking about the glory of God.
Mm.
The one that even Moses has to cover his face from. Mm. That is what you're saying. You are measuring up against. So, you know, everybody is a sinner by that. And that Jesus was saying it. So sin is beyond the actions and inactions. Mm. And again, we find in Romans when we say, he that doubted is damned, even if he hits, because he hated not of faith. So whatever is not of faith,
that comes from works. If it's not of faith, it means it comes from works.
Yeah.
What I'm doing. I mean, thank God. I know you keep saying about this, your ministry is the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if your ministry is going well, then you think, yes, this is my life. Yes, my life is not wasted. My life is important. And when your ministry is not going well, then you feel like you have no life. I mean, that's just the point. That's your justification. You want to get it from works of your hands. And that's the problem.
From the good works of your hand, even the seemingly good works.
Well, the works is not, that's why I said.
Because people, when they look at works, when they hear the works, they feel, oh, you just have to be bad.
No.
Good works, charitable works.
No, it's
for trying to be a father in the home and trying to be there.
No,
they're good works.
It's not about the work.
You're deriving a sense of satisfaction and identification from that.
And say,
yes, first, because I'm a father first, I'm a mother first, deriving all those the satisfaction, and that is what.
Well, that then, I'd like to give Matthew 6:33, seek ye first. That is the moment. It's about the what comes first. That's the thing. What comes first. That is what, as you know, if somebody is saved and they know what it means to be saved. I mean, that's what we see by the word of God.
And we have not even read the whole verse 17 because of time. I think we just have to maybe read it before.
Yeah, please do.
The woman answered, I do not have a husband. Jesus said to her, you have correctly said, I do not have a husband.
Okay, go on, please. Verse 18. Yes, you can read.
For you have had 5 husbands, and the man you are now living with is not your husband.
Okay.
You have said this truthfully.
Okay, good. I mean, you've had 5 husbands. You've gone through the cycle. Okay, so I don't know if some people might be listening to this as we are saying to you, especially if you're a young person, if you're somebody who has not gone through a lot in life, if you're somebody. You might be a bit sarcastic about these things we are talking about. You might be saying that, what are they talking about? I mean, I'm very sure when she had the first husband, if somebody says to that woman that Christ wants to be your life, and the woman can say, no, this is the life. I'm living the life. Oh, yes. I'm delivered from the expectation. Society now will accept me as a woman of virtue. I've got my husband. This is the life. This is what it means to live a life. She could have said that. But blessed be God, she's gone through five husbands. Can you see? There's some people that are hearing this today. They might say, what are they talking about in this transmission? It could be because you've not actually tried things out. You've not actually tested things out. Blessed be God for the young brother in Luke 15. He actually tested things out. So give me the portion that is due me. And the Bible says, even though he had the portion, he had half of the inheritance, he began to be in what? In what? You don't want to get to the point where you want to test out Jesus' statement in John chapter 4.
With your life.
Where Jesus said, you will thirst again. If you had a fourth husband, you would need a second one. You would even need a third one. You would need a fourth one. You would need a fifth one. I mean, so this woman has come to a point where she has actually tested out what Christ was saying, that if you drink from this water, she now agrees that you will thirst again. How did we know? She said, well, at the moment, I didn't even have an husband. How come she's back to square one? And that is what life does to people. That is what life does. It sets in confusion. It sets in depression. People live in hell at the moment now because they are trying to get their kick or their life from anything else other than the grace of God. That's what we see there. We're going to, in fact, because of time today, next week, you want to stick with us as we begin to delve deeper into this matter.
Yeah, it's good that you mentioned for those people who are young. And yeah. It doesn't have to be young in age, but young in experience.
Yeah, or young
and
in exposure.
Maybe they are just, yes, in experience and exposure. Maybe they are just in their first husband. And I feel like, oh, we have all the time. I have my options. You know, I can take the challenge. Let me try out on this. Well, we want to tell you, experience is not always the best teacher because you might not be able to recover from it, get burnt out completely and no redemption factor covered for you. So I've seen a woman who has gone out, who is ambitious and passionate and has gone five and even with a cyst. So I don't know what's your own count now. What's your own count or what do you think? But we have already told you the expected end for this, what is going to happen. That it's just like it's a cycle, unending cycle. Yes. Unending cycle. It's tiresome. Yeah. So there's no end to this quest. So because here when it started, I feel, oh, I missed it in the first husband. The second would be very good.
Yeah.
I know what I'm looking for. I'm mature. That's why you cannot count on the maturity and exposure. Mm. I feel like I know better than somebody else because I've been there. So I feel like, yes, I'm confident with all these lessons I've learned. Mm. I can bring this into the second one. She went in with all her full strength and all the things all up her sleeves. Mm. All the experiences she had gathered with the first one. And all the plans she might have had for this, and fail woefully, and that is, it's going to fail. Whatever it is you are doing, like this, that is outside the life of God, is going to fail woefully. There is a end to it. It's already the clear end. There is nothing you can change about that, because it's the word of the Lord, and Scripture cannot be broken. And it's from the Lord you can find rest. And for this rest, we invite you that you step out from all this shadow of all these things that are defining and labeling you. All things that have constricted your life into one small space, and say, come out, as Jesus was saying to that woman, you step out of all this shadow of all these men that you are relying, depending on, and say, come to me. I will see you for who you are. Let me see you for who you are, and I'm going to give you that which you're looking for. And so we hope that we are happy that you join us on this transmission today, and we are blessed that the Lord is blessing you through this. Should you have any questions, anything that need any comments for clarification, anything, any request about this message, you know, you can come to the page, you can come to our page, and some might want to, because of the situation where they are, in places where they are, difficult to reach or something, they do private messaging. We are open to that. If you have some questions you need to ask, you can send the private message to us. And this. So we will see you next time, because we are just on that 17 and 18. We are verse 18, we are ending with verse 18 today. So we will see you next time. We want you to join us and please continue with us, because we have not gotten to the end of this conversation. And so we want to say, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord,
so walk in him. God bless you. Bye.